And that is the hope of every believer, that one day we shall look upon Him. The hope of every child of God is that He is our Lord and will take care of us. And one day we shall be with Him. If you would this morning, take your scriptures, your Bible, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. And we'll be reading in chapter number 1 this morning. In Luke chapter number 1. We'll begin reading in verse number 26. In Luke chapter 1 and 2, you have the recording of the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist and, of course, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are two men that really changed the course of the world. John the Baptist is said to be the greatest of men that have been born of woman. And then, of course, we know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh. And so in these two chapters, you have some of the details concerning the birth of these two men. But as we are here in the Christmas season, and as the last two Sundays, I think two Sundays we've dealt with sort of along the line of the Christmas season, and I want to again this morning, maybe not as much about Christmas as some would think, but taking the Scripture, what it gives to us about the announcement concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 26, we shall begin reading. It says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, whom was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." I want us to think this morning on the subject of the woman that God chose to be the mother of Jesus. We as Baptist people and the Protestant world, sometimes we tend to play down the role that Mary had concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that she was highly favored. That's just a fact that we must face, and we should never let how some certain groups would distort and bring about wrong thoughts. We should never let them dictate to how we think, and that we certainly wouldn't want to be identified with them. But I'll tell you what, the Virgin Mary is a very, very important subject in the Word of God. Now, we do not worship her as some people do. I'm not talking about the Mary of the Roman Catholics that believe she is mediator between God and man For the devil always distorts truth. And he has taken truth and taken these words that we have read this morning, and he has distorted them to a multitude of people to believe the wrong thing and taking their eyes off of the real subject matter of what takes place here in Luke chapter number 1. Mary is not the most important character. She's just the deliverer of the Son of God, the most important character. She is the one that God chose, and she was chosen of the Lord to be that instrument that would birth and to bring into this world a child that would be called Jesus. Isaiah prophesied that some 500 or 600 years before that this event takes place. He said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and even names him," says, "his name shall be called Emmanuel," which is interpreted God with us. And we find that Jesus is the term that is given here that is this is identical to Emmanuel, which means God with us. We do not lift her above other women, and she certainly did not lift herself up above other women, but she did lift up motherhood, and the role that she played was very, very important in the birth of the Son of God. As I said a moment ago, she's not the mediator between God and man. That is reserved for only one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Him. There's only one way to leave this world in a right way, in a right fashion, to once again meet God and to have right fellowship with Him. We don't make her a goddess. We do not pray to her. But it was a glorious privilege that the Lord gave to this young lady here that we read about in these verses that was already espoused to this man named Joseph. Now, most Bible scholars that I have read after and most that I have heard about, most of them think that and believe that Mary was probably either 16 or 17 years of age when the angel came to her. So she was just a young girl, but yet she was used of the Lord. And the reason for that thinking, sometimes the betrothal was very early in the life and the age of young girls in Israel. And so it's very possible and very probable that we're talking about a girl that we would call a teenager. And here the angel comes to her and he says, "You are highly favored of the Lord." And I want us to notice some things about this young girl or this woman that is used of God to mother and to bring forth into this world the incarnate Christ, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. And some things that she knew of what was taking place and maybe some things she did not understand. But the Bible gives us some things about her life that I think is very important here in these verses, and we can look at other places also. But we find, first of all, is her character. In verses 26 through 34, which was most of what we read this morning, we deal with a young lady that was a very godly individual. For I believe with all my heart that God would not have used someone that was not godly. God would have not chosen a girl or a woman that would have been on the wrong side of town and doing the wrong things, and God would not have chosen that type of individual to birth into this world the perfect Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that she was very attentive to the message that God gave to her through the angel Gabriel. Verse 26, we find that says, "In the sixth month," now that is a reference to John the Baptist. Elizabeth had been pregnant with John the Baptist for 6 months, and it's given here in verse 26, and also verse number 36 tells us that she was in her sixth month of pregnancy when the angel Gabriel came to Mary and announced to her this announcement that was given, and she was very attentive to the message that the Lord gives to her. God, he sends Gabriel to a city of Galilee, and that city was named Nazareth, there where she lived. And it's very specific here, as it is in the Old Testament, that this angel Gabriel that came with the announcement of glad tidings, of good things. By the way, when you study the angels in the Scripture, Gabriel is always the one that announces gladness and good things and good tidings. Where Michael, that archangel, is the one that is the warrior angel. And so Gabriel comes and he has a message for Mary. And the Scripture tells us here that the Lord sent him to this city of Nazareth, not only to a particular place, but to a particular young girl, to a particular lady. And the Bible says here, to a virgin, that she was espoused, that she was what we would call engaged. Now, it's a little different than our Western society, in our Western world. When you were espoused during the time of Christ and in the rules and the regulations of the Jews, when you were espoused, you were as good as married, just awaiting that time when the marriage would be consummated. And by the way, you and I this morning, we are espoused to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are awaiting the time that we will have that placement there in the heavens when the Lord will have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so it's all a picture of what takes place here. And so here Mary is, that she's espoused to this man named Joseph of the house of David. The angel's very clear. The Scripture, the Holy Spirit's very clearly describes to us that where he goes, and he goes to this young lady, and that she is a virgin, she is espoused, and to the right house, the house of David. And he comes to a particular woman that is named Mary. So we cannot have any discussion. We have no problems concerning her. And now he gives her the message in verse number 28. And she's very attentive to listen to God's messenger. The angel came in unto her and said. So immediately he makes his presence known to her and he makes this statement. Hail thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed art thou among women. You're highly favored. She listens to God's messenger, and I believe she's probably familiar with God's prophecies. I believe Mary was a very righteous and was a very attentive young lady according to the Word of God and understood what was taking place. Understood what was going on. Now the angel comes and she has some questions and she has some concerns. She doesn't understand it all, but she's attentive and she's familiar with the prophecies of the Lord. And she said, it says here that when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind. She was just thinking, now why is this angelic being making this statement concerning me? She's maybe not asking him right now that, but it says, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Why am I favored of God? Why am I being given this message? And so she's thinking those things in her mind, and the angel said to her, fear not. There's a message that God has for you, and so therefore you don't have to fear. The fear's overwhelming her. Maybe the confusion is overwhelming her of what the words that she has heard, that she is favored among women and that she is blessed of God. And he says, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. So here we find this godly young lady. She receives the message that she is going to be the body. She's going to be the instrument. She's going to be that person that delivers into this world the Son of God. This one that Isaiah had spoken of, where a virgin shall conceive. Maybe she had read that in their writings. Maybe she had understanding of that point to a certain point. And was looking, but she had no idea that I'm going to be the one. That's why she said, how can these things be, seeing I know not a man? and I've had no relation. How can I birth a child? And so she was a godly young lady, and she's attentive and listens and is familiar with the prophecies of the Lord. And she was, I believe, a very pure person. In verse number 34, she says, I've never had relation. She was pure as far as her flesh was concerned. And she said, how can these things be? And Nazareth was known as a place of much corruption. The scripture even says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Of course, that was referring to the Lord. Can any good thing? Because Nazareth was known as that wicked, ungodly area, and most everything there was defiled. And so she says, How can this thing be? She was pure in the midst of ungodliness. As I said a moment ago, I don't believe the Lord would have chosen, I don't believe God would have chosen a promiscuous woman to raise the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose a girl that was pure, and chose a girl that knew some things about what was taking place in her life. And she's about to get a revelation that she would have never thought would have come to her heart. And so her character was good. Her character was right. Your character is what you are, not your reputation. Your character is what you are. And so the Lord knew her. The Lord understood her. And so he sends out Gabriel and said, you go make the announcement to that virgin. You go make the announcement to Mary that she's highly favored among women. You'll notice it does not say that she's lifted above women. She's highly favored among women. And she's equal. There's equality there. And so her character was spotless. Her character was pure. And God had chosen her because of who she was and how that she had conducted herself and the things that she knew as a young lady. Now immediately, there's a crisis takes place in her life. If you could, and I don't know if we can or not, but immediately we must understand that her whole world is turned upside down. Immediately she is hearing some things that she doesn't understand. And there's a crisis that comes into her life. She has been told now that she has been given the greatest honor that could ever be afforded to anyone. Her favor was that she was going to be that instrument that God would use. But along with her favor that has been given to her, there comes a great fear. You know, sometimes we are favored of the Lord, but it also is accompanied by fear of whether or not we can do and can perform what God has for us to do. And so there's a crisis that comes in her life. And she lets it be known. And she says, how can this be? And so immediately she realizes that, and her fear comes upon her, there's going to be a stigma about her. She is going to be known in Nazareth as an unmarried, pregnant young girl. That's the stigma that comes to her. She's only betrothed to Joseph. And so the fear comes to her that she is going to be a shame and possibly a reproach and a humiliation. And it was all for the glory of God. How would she break the news to Joseph? Well, she didn't have to do that. The Lord was very gracious to her, and the angel goes to Joseph and he explains to him what is taking place. What a great story it is of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the crisis comes to her life. How will people accept me? Or will they accept me? What will they say about me? And how will they treat me? A little different than today in that society. For Joseph had the ability that he could put her away and never to be seen again. He could have had her stoned to death because of infidelity. All those things were prominent in that society that they lived. And those things that Joseph thought about, I'm sure, were the same things that she thought about. And so her world has, all of a sudden, here she is, a young girl, maybe 17 years of age, and she's betrothed to Joseph, and he's at a later date, they're going to consummate the marriage as it's supposed to be in the ways and the rules that they had. And here comes the angel and gives her this announcement, and all of a sudden her plans are all in an upheaval. But she's willing to take even the turmoil, the reproach. She's willing to take the shame in order to serve God and for the glory of her God. But what about Joseph? Well, we know that the angel told him, and he, of course, was willing, and we know the story of that part of the time frame between this announcement and the birth of Jesus Christ. So Mary had great character. Mary had character that was beyond reproach, and therefore God chose her and sent the angel and said, you go to Nazareth, you go to that city, you go to that girl that's named Mary, that's a virgin, and you tell her and you bid her the knowledge that she's going to have a baby, and it's going to be the Son of God. His name shall be called Jesus, the Messiah. And so we find that her character brought her about to a point of a great, great responsibility. Her character brought her to a crisis in her life that many may not have realized and would not have taken. But we find in verse number 38, and Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. Here we find in verse number 38, Mary makes a decision, or has the words in her mouth that she submitted herself to the will of God for her life. You know, I believe every one of us, whether where we are in our life, doesn't matter where we might be, but continually we have to get to a point of where we will submit ourselves to what God wants us to do. That God would have us to have a place, that we would have a certain thing to do, and we may not understand how, we may not understand why, we may not understand all the details about it, but we have to come to the same place that Mary did, and she said, I'm a handmaid. She didn't ask, notice she didn't ask any time to, well, let me think about this, whether or not I want to do that. She just says, the handmaid of the Lord. The word handmaid there means bond slave. It's one that has swallowed up, that is swallowed up in the will of God, and to do that of the will of another. The Lord, He's the Master. He's the one. She didn't try to negotiate the timing. She just recognized that the timing was not her timing, but that timing was God's timing, because Jesus could not be the son of Joseph. He had to be the Son of God. And so therefore the Holy Ghost overshadowed her, and she became with child of the Holy Ghost, and this child would be born and he'd be called Jesus. And the Lord even gives her, and the angel here even gives her some things about what he would do. He shall be great, in verse number 32, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Here's the life. Here's the whole scheme of things in one verse of what Jesus Christ would do that was given to Mary. This that you are going to have, this child that you're going to have, he is going to be great. And he is going to be called the Son of the Highest, or the Son of God. I believe all of a sudden Mary is beginning to realize now, I'm that virgin of Isaiah chapter 7. I'm that one that's highly favored. I'm that one that God has chosen, and now He's telling me that the son that I bear into this world, He's going to be great. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest, or the Son of God. Not only that, but He's going to have the throne of His father David. And she knew, as a studious person of the Scriptures of the Old Testament, she knew what that meant. The throne of David. That throne's a never-ending throne. And therefore, he would be the ruler. Same thing that Isaiah tells us in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I believe we probably read that last week. He's the Counselor. He's the Almighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. And the next verse says, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and He's going to rule and reign forever and forever. And here in the announcement that Gabriel gives unto this 17-year-old girl, she finds out that the one that she is going to bear into this world, He is the Son of God. He is that one that is the child that would be given as a son. He has the throne of David. And He shall reign over the house of Jacob, not just for a little while, not like the other kings, not like David, not like Solomon, not like those others, but He's going to rule over the house of Jacob forever and ever. He is the righteous, holy God of heaven that's ruling from heaven above, and He's going to rule Israel forever and forever. And that's yet in the future for you and I. And so all of a sudden, Mary, that's sitting in obscurity, nobody knows her. They're not a rich family. She's not a rich girl. Joseph's not a rich man. And she's sitting in obscurity, and all of a sudden the announcement's given to her, and she realizes what's going to take place. And she says, I'm just your handmaid. You can use me any way that you desire to use me. Well, that ought to be our thoughts. That ought to be mine. I fall short of that so much. All of us do. And so she has the idea, and she is given here the things that this son that's going to be born, his kingdom's going to be no end to it. And she understands. In verse number 36, the angel says, you have a cousin named Elizabeth. Now, she knew how old Elizabeth was. The Bible tells us that Elizabeth was age past childbearing. She was an older woman. And so here is a young girl, and she knows about this older lady that's not had children. She's called barren. And Gabriel says, you know Elizabeth, thy cousin. She has conceived also. And then he says, with God there's nothing impossible. I believe that sealed it with Mary. If God can make an old woman that is past the bearing age of children, if she can have a child, nothing is impossible with God, so therefore I can have a child if God says that's what's going to happen. And immediately her words come out, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Here I am, the handmaid, the bondslave, the one that is submissive to the things of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Mary is now understanding all things are possible with God. How can this be? And the angel says, just like Elizabeth, your cousin, can have a child, so can you. And the Holy Ghost will overshadow thee. Mary was willing to lose her reputation because she was a handmaid. She was willing to suffer the misunderstandings of the people around her. She was even willing to jeopardize her betrothal to Joseph. She was willing to undergo what Joseph said he could do. Not willing to put her away privately. Not willing to stone her. She understood what the ramifications were, but yet she was willing to say, I'm the handmaid of God. I'll do whatever comes my way just for the joy of being a servant of the Lord. Now, in this chapter, on a few verses we did not read, but in verse number 46, we have the celebration that Mary gives and the words that she has now when she understands and all these things have been performed that was told her from the Lord. She goes and she talks to Elizabeth. That's in verse 39 through 45. She makes a trip to her cousin Elizabeth and she goes there and she makes this statement. Here's her celebration. It's called, in our scriptures, if you have a Scofield Bible, you have, and I'm sure you've heard the term, the Magnificat. These are her words, her celebration of what's going to take place in her life. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." My soul magnifies the Lord. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." She understands she's got a place in history. She understands she's got a place not only in world history, but in biblical history. "For from this point the world will call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath holpen the servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. When Mary gets to Elizabeth's house, her joy overwhelms her and she magnifies the Lord. She honors the God of heaven. She honors that one that has given her this message of what was going to take place. I'm sure these months that she had, those 3 months there, Elizabeth was about to deliver, and she is becoming now to be known and to be seen as a woman that is expecting a child. I'm sure those months were filled with waiting and decisions and certain discussions that the Scripture doesn't give us any indication between Mary and Joseph. This is a real incident. This is real people, and they have their feelings like we have our feelings, and I'm sure they had discussions on all these things. But when she gets there to Elizabeth's house, she says, "I magnify the Lord. And I will be remembered. I'm just a handmaiden." You see, she took the right position. She did not exalt herself. She said, "I will be exalted, but I'm just a handmaiden. I'm just a young girl. I'm just a virgin." And so we find now she celebrates these things that God had revealed to her, and the subject of her praise was none other than the God of heaven. Mary did not sing about herself. She's just a bond slave. She's just a handmaid. She didn't praise herself. She was not thinking about what she might accomplish, but she said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and he's going to accomplish great things." Verse number 48, "For he hath regarded the low estate of this handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." verse number 48, that first part of that verse shows the grace of God. She says here, He hath regarded the low estate of this person. You know, one day God regarded my low estate. He regarded your low estate. He knew who we were. He knew what we needed. And He went to the cross of Calvary. He regarded us. And we're just bondservants. We're nothing great. We're nothing that the world would know about, but we certainly do have the grace of God that has been given to us. She talks about the power of God in verse number 49. In verse number 51, He says, He that is mighty, He hath done great things. He has showed strength with His arm and hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. The miracle that was going to be performed took the power of God and the power of God only to demonstrate the birth of the Messiah through a young lady by the name of Mary, who was a virgin, espoused to probably a young man, maybe about the same age, named Joseph. And she magnifies the Lord. Verse 49 talks about the holiness of God. Verse 54, she talks about the mercy of God. Verse 51 through 53, she deals with the justice of God. She says that He puts down the mighty, He fills the hungry, He sends the rich away empty, and that's the mighty power and the justice of God. God is the one that has the power to reverse the order of things. You would think the poor would be hungry and the rich would be filled. But God fills the hungry and sends away the rich empty. You would think a young girl would not be able to have a child, but God, through the Holy Ghost of the Lord, empowered her to have this child by the name of Jesus Christ. Mary, very, very important character of the Christmas season. We need, as Christians this morning, we need to realize that Christmas is not in the beautiful decorations. And I love to look at them. I like the trees that are pretty. I like the houses that are decorated. I like the splendor of so many places. But that's really not what Christmas is. Christmas is not rushing down to Sears or JCPenney and, oh, I forgot to get this for this person. I've got to go do this right now and get all in a frenzy, and we all do it. But that's not what Christmas is all about, nor the season. Here this young girl named Mary, 9 months before Jesus Christ was born, she has the announcement, here's what Christmas is about. You're going to conceive, you're going to bear a son, His name should be called Jesus. This morning, in these next 2 weeks, isn't it amazing how busy we get? And then when the day is over, we wonder, why did we do all that? How much we go and how much we give and how much we do. Everything about Christmas, so many times, is about everything else except this one called Jesus. But Mary had an understanding, and she said, I'm going to celebrate what God's done for me. He has looked upon this handmaiden with mercy, and He's going to deal with the world in justice. So this morning, her subject, 3 months into her pregnancy, there was 1, 2, and 3 months, her subject matter was magnifying the Lord. I like the verse. It tells us in chapter number 1, verse number 47, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God. What's those next two words? My Savior. Mary was no different than any other woman in this building. She had to have a Savior, just like we did. And she said, I rejoice in God, my Savior. Now, if she's high and lifted up like religion tells us she wouldn't have needed that. She has become really, through traditions and through history and longevity of time, she has become the replacement of the Savior. That's false idolatry. But she is the one that said, my God, my Savior. She had to be in belief, just like all those Old Testament saints did, in believing that there would one day become a Messiah, that He would come and deliver them from their sins. And she has just been given the news, He's coming. Can you imagine the leaping of joy in her soul and her heart? And I believe, my God, my Savior. And I'm going to deliver Him into this world. No wonder it's called the Magnificent. No wonder she said, I magnify God. No wonder she said, my God, my Savior. Praise the Lord this morning, we have the same Savior. We have the same Lord. And we have the message to tell to the world that is so filled with idolatry and filled with wrong things. We have the message this morning of what Christmas really is. It's not the things that we see. It's what we have in our heart. And His name is called Jesus. Let's stand together this morning.